into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There are three points of emphasis that I like to share with you from our text. I want us to see, first of all, as Luke writes this second historical treatise of Jesus Christ, he makes reference to the fact that he's writing to Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So the first thing that I want to do is to emphasize what Jesus did on earth. And secondly, I want to emphasize what he continues to do while he is in heaven. And then thirdly, I want to emphasize the incompleteness of his mission as it is revealed to us even in the 21st century. Luke says, I want you to understand all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Began means the first to do it. Began means the commencement. What we're talking about began with Christ. What we are involved in is the commencement of a movement that Jesus Christ came to this earth in order to carry out the will of his Father. When we think in terms of Luke writing, I think that you and I need to understand that Luke said in Luke chapter 1, verse number 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed. What we're talking about is a movement that you and I most surely can believe in. I may not be able to believe in everything I hear, but I am convinced that what I am about and what you and I are about, we can put our faith and confidence in it with absolutely assurance that it is right. He says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So he is interested in helping us to understand the beginning. And that beginning rests in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things. I don't know too many things where you and I are able to have perfect understanding of all things. There is much ambiguity and doubt in much of the rhetoric that we hear. But Luke said, what I'm talking about, you don't ever have to worry about it, because it is the complete understanding of all things from the first. And he says, and I'm giving it to you in order. He says to Theophilus, as he writes the first treatise or the first book, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. I'm glad to be a part of a movement that I have perfect understanding. I'm glad to be a part of a movement where there is absolute certainty about what we're doing. When we talk in terms of helping to focus our attention upon this movement that began with Jesus, I want you to see that, number one, what is it that he did? What is it that we're focusing in on? What is this movement all about? Luke tells us, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14. You're just going to please follow me, because in my own mind, I know where I'm going. And in my own mind, I'm excited about where I'm going. But I hope you'll stay with me and you'll say, yes, he did know where he was going. And I want you to watch this. It's a beautiful movement that you and I are part of. And watch this. And Jesus returned. This is the beginning of his ministry, as he's already laid out his birth and the early parts of his growing up as a youth, telling us about him at the age of 12. Luke has already introduced John the Baptist, but now he begins to focus in on what Jesus began to do. And Jesus returned, verse number 14, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He's been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he goes into Galilee with the power of the Spirit. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, this is his hometown, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the day, the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. What is it that you do, Jesus? I am about going throughout the region, telling people, men and women, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. And there was delivered unto him, verse number 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he had finished, he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, sounds braggadocious here. Sound like you're putting a little bit much on yourself to say that it's all on me. But I think if anybody can brag, if anybody can go out on a limb and say that it's all about me, I believe it's Jesus Christ our Lord. And he sat down. They all looked at him. And you go and read the story and you find out they want to know, isn't this the carpenter's son? But anyway, I want to just show you what Jesus began to do. Go with me to Luke 5, verse number 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Simon said, the master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw what Jesus had done. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished that all that were with him and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not." Here's the point that you got to see. "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Catch men alive. What is it that Jesus is doing? Jesus is involved in a mission. Jesus began this mission. Jesus is going about all the regions preaching the word of God. And now he has brought men into his company. You might want to say he's bringing in his cabinet. He's bringing in some that will work with him and help him. And he said, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Better be careful who you follow. Better make sure that whoever you follow the right person. Here's another that helps me to understand what Jesus did. Let me just, because time will not permit me to go through all of them with a fine-tooth comb, but I wish we did have the time for you to really get a picture of who this Jesus is. He was a man. When he came in Luke 19, Luke wants us to understand that there was a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. And Jesus went home with this tax collector. And the people, when they saw how that he kept company with sinners in their minds and tax collectors, Jesus had to let them know in verse number 10 of Luke 19. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." What are you doing, Jesus? "I'm going about teaching the word of God." What are you doing, Jesus? "I'm going about to save those that are lost." Jesus Christ, his great legacy is summed up by Luke. And with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But on his resurrection, this is what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 24, 46 through 53. He said unto them, "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye endue with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's how Luke ends, as they worship him. And then great joy. That's one of his themes. What I like about Luke, as he talks about Jesus, Jesus has a platform of good news. His is a gospel, but gospel simply means good news. We're living in a time where there is some good news. I know bad news is everywhere, but there's some good news. And if anybody has a monopoly on good news, it's the Church of Christ. Good news comes because we are serving a Christ who I believe is a worthy candidate, who is one who is worthy for us to be witnesses of, because we are guaranteed to win. Luke's gospel emphasizes that Jesus has a platform for all men, not just some men, but all men. It's a gospel that reaches to all nations. He has a platform for individuals. That's why when you read the gospel, Luke takes time to talk about Zechariah. He takes time to talk about Elizabeth. He takes time to talk about Mary. He takes time to talk about the personal lives of people. He's not just interested in the masses. He is a personal Savior. He is one who has good news for the outcast and for sinners. Good news for the poor. He came in poor. His mother and his father were poor. He is one who identifies with not the elite, not with those aristocratic individuals. Our candidate is one who identifies with the poor. Even though he were rich, he became poor for our sake, the Bible says. He has a platform and good news for women and children. And anybody wants to be able to do some praising in the midst of a storm. Anybody who wants to sing hallelujah while things are not seemingly copacetic. You got to understand that Jesus gives us that ability to understand that there's good news in the midst of bad news. Now, as I close that point and move to point number two, Jesus continues, this is what Luke wants in, that was in the first treatise, but in the second treatise, that's why he introduces by saying all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. In other words, Jesus is still active. Even though he's gone back to heaven, even though he's ascended to his Father, he's still active in the work of men here upon this earth. We don't serve a legendary Christ. We serve a living Christ. We serve someone who has gone down into the depths of the Hadean world, and he has come out of the Hadean world, and he has declared all power, heaven and earth, is given unto me. I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I am the Amen, I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. And that's why you and I have so much confidence as we move forward, and we are witnesses, and we're witnessing to win each, reach, and teach. The book of Acts shows us that Christ is still imminently involved in everything that we do. That's why, as I hasten, you got to understand that when time came to choose someone to take the place of Judas, and it came down to only two possible candidates. That was Matthias. And the Bible says that they asked concerning this involvement. They said, while I'm doing that, I'm trying to think of who the second one was. Matthias, amen, but it's not coming to me. So, all right, but it came down to two. I know that, amen. And Matthias is the one. But here's what they asked. They asked, Lord, show us whom you have chosen. In other words, Jesus Christ put it where they put it where Jesus would make the decision between Matthias. Amen. I'm still trying to find, where are you, man? All right, but I can't find him. Amen. But anyway, he uses him in another fashion. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 32, I want you to understand, here is something that is interesting. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, all I want to show you is that Jesus is still intimately involved in the work of his people. And even though he's gone back to heaven, he is actively involved in the work of the apostles and in the work of the early church. Watch this now. The Bible said when the Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost, and the people were excited because all the apostles were speaking in the native language of the people. And when all of this had come about, they were looking upon the apostles. And I want you to look at verse number 32 of Acts 2. Here's what Peter said. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. In other words, the initiation of the church being born on the day of Pentecost, didn't come at the hands of the apostles. It came at the hands of Jesus. Jesus is the initiator. That's why he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Jesus is still intimately involved in the work of the church. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Acts 2:47. Praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Not only does the Lord initiate, but the Lord continues to add personally to the church. If you are a member of the church, you didn't come in by proxy. You didn't come in by vote. You came in because the Lord added you to the church. He did that personally. In Acts chapter 3 and verse number 9, when that lame man who was laid at the gate, and when Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. And when that man looked upon them, that man's legs and his inability to walk was restored. And the Bible said he jumped up leaping. And the people started looking upon Peter and John as though they had done it. But I want you to understand that Peter makes this statement in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 16. He said, and his name through faith. Well, let's go to verse number 15. And he killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are what? Witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, and faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, he wanted them to know that Jesus Christ is actively working, not only in the initiation of the church, not only in the addition to the church, but he is also actively involved in the healing of the people, the well-being of the people. It's by him that people are made whole, not by our power, but by his power. I'm glad to be able to be in a church where the Lord is still actively involved. Even when Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death, he said, when he began to die, he said, he looked up and he said, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God. He saw him, and the Bible said that he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. And the Bible says that he fell asleep. Why? Because he was able to sleep soundly, because he knew even though through death, the Lord was still with him. I like having a candidate. I like having a person that even in sickness, he's able to help. Even in death, he is there. But he's also involved in the conversion process. Acts chapter 9, watch how he worked in the life of a man by the name, of Saul. He came to Saul personally and said, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? The Lord is actively involved. While on earth, he was actively involved. While in heaven, he's still actively involved. But as I move to my last point, I want you to understand that there is an incompleteness in each man's share in this great work. The book of Acts begins by showing us all that Jesus began both to do and to teach and continues to do in the church. In other words, you and I need to understand that each of us has a responsibility as we are participants in the kingdom of God. But it's Christ who's working with us. May I illustrate it this way? If you have two people playing checkers, and one of them is Jesus Christ, then all of the checkers on the board are you and me, and those who have given their lives to him. He's the one who's making the moves. He's the one that's deciding where it goes. We're only checkers in his hand. Maybe you can see it if you play chess. He's the one who determines where the chess pieces go. He is the operator. He is the one who is in charge. He is still actively involved. We are the pieces of the puzzle. He is the one who chooses to put this piece and that piece together. All of us need to understand that we're only pieces. We are only pawns. We're only people, instruments through which Jesus is still working. The beautiful thing about the book of Acts is that when it ends with Paul, one who had been converted, and it ends abruptly with Paul still in custody, in a private home where he's able to preach and to teach in this hired house, and he's preaching concerning the kingdom. I'm wondering, why does the book of Acts end abruptly and not telling us the complete story of Paul as he moves out? That's because you cannot ever complete the story and the challenge of Jesus working in the world in which you and I live. He started working in the first century, and he's still using instruments, still using pieces of the puzzle to work things out. God is still using you, still using you, using all of us. He uses women. He uses men. He uses young people. He uses all men, rich and poor. He uses everybody in order to carry out his will and to witness to him in the world in which we live. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter about your status in life. He's still using you. Maybe he pushed you into financial problems, but he pushed you into financial problems in order that you might be a witness and a testimony concerning him. And when you experience that financial difficulty, instead of you trying to go to some other agencies and try to find a way to blame God, you just stayed faithful and witnessed and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh." And you said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you said, "The Lord promised me that he would add all things to me if I seek his kingdom first." Maybe he moved you into the area of sickness, and maybe he allows you to suffer from some type of ailment that you just seemingly cannot get out of. But I got news for you. That's the way he positioned you. He pushed you into this position and into this circumstance, but he wants you to witness to him in that environment. Maybe you decided that I'm going to be a student and I'm going to school at a certain college, and you say to yourself, "Why am I going to that college?" Well, it may be because the Lord has positioned you and put you there in order that you might be a witness to him and a light unto him. Maybe you say, "Well, Brother Gibbs, I have this job, and the reason I got this job is because of my education." Maybe not. It may be that the Lord is the one who opened the door for you to get that job, but he expects you to witness to him and to let everybody know that that Jesus that died on that Friday and was buried and rose again on that Sunday, that when he got up out of the grave, he's still alive and he's still working in my life. And I'm being a witness to him because in my circumstance, in my arena, in my sphere of influence, can't nobody witness like I can witness. You don't know my neighbors. You don't know where I go. But wherever I go, where you go, nobody else will be able to do what you can do. God wants us to be able to witness to him. I'm closing now, and I think about all of what I hear on television, and I just been entertained by all of this stuff, by these men talking about you know what they said, and I don't want to, I know all this stuff goes out it's on the internet now, and so I got to be careful what I say, because it'll meet you, I'm trying to tell you, but y'all know what I'm talking about, and I'm trying to tell you, can't nobody talk bad but Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can talk tough and talk arrogantly about who he is. And I got news for you. if you and I think choosing a president is going to turn our economy and our world around and make our nation great, you got another thing coming. Can't nobody make it great but Jesus Christ our Lord. And it does not start with laws. It does not start with Congress. It starts in the heart and in the mind of every man and woman. Can't nobody do it like Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of the problems. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father except to come by me. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You talk like a bad man. I am a bad man. I am a bad man. And can't nobody touch me. Am I right about it? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I'm all right. I'm just being entertained by all this stuff. Amen. Well, did I make it? All right, good. All right, I'm going to quit. I just want to make sure I made it. Amen. You and I got a witness for Jesus. Each in the 21st century, he's still working in your life and mine. If you're here and you want to be a part of a movement that wins, that's guaranteed to win, that is the movement of Christ. Being a part of his church, being a part of what he's about. And there is always excitement to be gained by being in him. How do you become a part of this movement? By hearing the gospel, the good news of how he died for you, how that he was buried for you, but thank God he was resurrected for you. And through his resurrection, he now has the ability to give life to everyone who comes to him. You hear that wonderful good news of how he now mediates for you at the right hand of God. Every day when things go wrong or things going on in your life, he is there mediating. He is there judiciously orchestrating what goes on in your home. He overlooked your family. He was overlooking your family while you slept. He is the one that's in charge of all things. I'm glad to have a living Savior, not a legendary, but a living Savior. Amen. He lives in me. You ought to give your life to him. Let him guide your life. Let him have the very essence of your life. Then repent of your sin. Go on and follow him. Confess him to be the Son of God. And then be buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. That baptism puts you into Christ. It forgives you of your past. Isn't that wonderful? And it secures your present. And it also secures your future. Amen. That's the kind of winning, that's the kind of success that we have with Jesus. You can't lose with Jesus. I pray that all of us will cast our lot with him and let's promote him. If you're going to have to put on a badge and go protest. Amen. But have Jesus on it. Amen. And not some other man, because that's the only man who can save us. Will you come? Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, oh, I from the sunshine of love will thy roam, Father and Father of me, calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling his tent. Calling today, Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden, then thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Calling is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting.